Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works today. Big Joe is out as he is traveling with the Blue Raiders to take on Delaware, the Blue Hens.
Right? Hashtag. You should introduce me before I start talking.
Well, this is Max Hurst.
Like, who is this guy?
Max Hurst joins us now.
Can I say something about Delaware football?
Yes.
First? When I was announcing high school football here, there was a quarterback by the name of Braden Streeter who was committed to Delaware. I actually don't know if he's still there. I assume he is. But their recruiting hashtag for the Delaware Blue Hens was hashtag Henergy, which I love.
I actually like that a lot.
Yeah.
So Nick has dubbed this the Blue Bowl between the Blue Raiders and the Blue Hens tomorrow. And if you say that too fast, you could get a different result.
Don't tell Hal Gill that.
Yeah, exactly. But Max is going to join us for the final hour because the Predators open up a 5-game homestand tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. I know people don't like when I say this or anyone says this. Let's put record aside for a second. 2-2-2. Jordan Tutu would be very proud right now. 2-2-2. Looking at them through the first 6 games, what have you seen?
They've been fine. They've played well enough to win almost every game. I think their 2 best games actually may both be losses. I think their home game against the Mammoth in the second game of the season that they lost in overtime, I think that was their best game of the season.
Yeah.
And I think the Canadiens game, if they were able to pot one more, that would have been their best performance of the season, and obviously that should have been a win. A star player went into superstar mode twice on you. You lost the game. So their record should definitely be better than 2-2-2. I think they are much better than they were at the start of last season. Obviously, 2-1-2 is better than 0-5, 0-5-0, which is what they were through 5 games last year. So I think they're in a much better place than they were last year. I think they're still leaving points on the table, though. I don't think they're generating anywhere near enough offense. And I think the defense has been good enough to win almost every night, except for when they were in Toronto last Tuesday. Eustace Onnen gave up 5 goals. That game probably should have been closer than it was.
Yeah, and then I was curious after that game against Montreal, which was a heartbreaker. But those are going to happen. That's a part of it. What was going to be the response the next time out against Winnipeg? Didn't love the response.
Well, Andrew Brunette said this, and I agree, not that I need to reinforce what the coach who played in the NHL says, but the first period was their worst period of the season, the first period in Winnipeg. They took a penalty a minute in. They gave up a power play goal right off the hop. They gave up a breakaway goal. They were down 2-0, and it didn't really feel like they had the puck at all.
At Steven Stamkos, I know he's said this, but, defensively they have improved. Everybody, I don't think anybody would argue with that, and they needed to. They had to play better in front of UC Soros. But you got to have some of these guys start scoring goals, and you don't have anybody that's, going to be a 60-goal scorer and, average 2 a night or something like that. But what in your mind needs to change for them, especially with the power play opportunities, to put some of these in the back of the net?
Yeah, I mean, they got to get the puck in the zone. The breakouts have been the biggest problem on the power play. And I think they got to feed Stamkos the one-timers to the point where the other team is going to have to block 20 of them if they want to kill every penalty. If Stamkos is covered, they haven't been forcing it. I think it's time to start forcing it. I think you got to get your money's worth with Stamkos with the power play goals, and they haven't given him enough chances. The one goal he has was a power play goal where he was actually passing in front, and it hit off a defenseman and went in. So, You gotta let the man score the goal that's going to get him into the Hall of Fame. So that would be my first step. They tried Nick Blankenberg on the power play last game instead of Jonathan Marchessault, who's hurt. I actually loved that move, putting Yossi on the flank on his one-timer side and having Blankenberg run it. But now tonight, Blankenberg's back out of the lineup because he's the 7th defenseman. So that was a one-game try. It's tough to just throw him in there and expect it to work. And, I mean, it was okay. I would like to see that get a longer look, but he's not one of their 6 best defensemen at even strength right now, so they can't. But tonight, Evangelista is going to be on that top power play. He's going to be in the middle. He's going to be making quick passing plays out of the bumper. I think he's a better fit for that spot than Marchessault significantly, and I hope that sticks.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting to see. Max Hurst is with us for the final hour. We're also going to have your chance to win some Preds tickets.
Ooh.
So be listening. We're going to be giving to tonight's game.
Ooh.
So if you want to go to tonight's game, we're going to be giving you an opportunity to do that coming up here in just a little bit. Brady Martin back in the lineup. He didn't play.
Yeah.
Didn't play on the road trip. People were kind of freaking out about that. I wanted to see him in one game, but I understood. I understood what the thought process was of he's traveling, he's practicing, he's with the team, but let him sit and observe and not force him, you know, because you don't have final change. There's all these different reasons, but now he's back in tonight.
Yeah, well, the reason they didn't play him, at least what's been verbalized by Andrew Brunette, is it's not a hard and fast he cannot play in a road game.
Yeah.
If they were playing the Ducks on the road tonight, he
would
play.
Yeah.
It was a road trip against four good teams, each of which had tough atmospheres for various reasons. Monday in Ottawa, that's their home opener.
Yeah.
This was my third trip to Ottawa. First of all, they play in the Ottawa equivalent of Murfreesboro.
Right.
They're hoping to build an arena in the actual lovely city of Ottawa, but I had never seen that arena full. And it was their home opener. They made the playoffs last year for the first time since they almost came here for the Cup final.
Yeah.
They hadn't
yeah.
been in the playoffs in 8 years. Home opener, Canadian Thanksgiving afternoon. It was rocking up there. The next night, Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto speaks for itself. The eyes of the hockey world are there. The Maple Leafs are really freaking good. Thursday, Montreal. 22,000 French fans oohing and aahing at every single puck touch. Another good team. And then Saturday night in Winnipeg, that's probably, you could make the argument that it was the loudest crowd of the week. I mean, it's Montreal.
Oh.
Montreal has 7,000 more people than Winnipeg does, so that probably gives them the title. But Saturday night in Winnipeg, they won the President's Trophy last year. Like, these are not the road atmospheres that they want to play him in, Andrew Brunette says, and they're measuring his progression step by step. It's been pretty much planned out with a little bit of cushion for
yeah.
them to change things, but they want to make sure that he doesn't have a rough moment in an atmosphere like that, that is necessitated by an atmosphere like that, when Austin Matthews, Cole Caulfield, Brady Tkachuk, Kyle Connor are on the ice. So that's why Martin didn't play. But he's going to play tonight, and he's going to have new line mates. So Ryan O'Reilly had been his co-center
yeah.
in the first two games. Tonight, Fedor Svechkov is going to be his co-center. Tyson Jost is going to be with him. I think that's more of a grind line.
Yeah.
And I think that's a chance for Fedor Svechkov to be the skill guy on the line, which is what he needs because he has as many points as we both do through the first six games.
Yeah, he struggled out of the gate. And so I think putting him – how many games have you done in Winnipeg, by the way?
I think four or five.
Now, you have been to more rinks than I have. But I can tell you, people ask me, what's the coolest atmosphere you've been to? Winnipeg in the playoffs was awesome. They did the whiteout. It was loud. It's a smaller rink, so the sound just stays in there. So that doesn't surprise me what you said there.
Yeah, it was a great crowd Saturday. There have been times I've been there when the crowd wasn't loud.
Yeah.
Saturday it was quite loud, and, I mean, they scored in the second minute of the game. So
yeah,
that's how that works.
And you also saw the CFL.
I did. It's not a very entertaining on-field product, but shout out to former Vanderbilt punter Jesse Mirko, who is now on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I went to the game with his parents and
nice.
His dad. They're Australian, and his dad. There are a lot of two and outs, so you punt on third down.
Yeah.
And I'm there because I know the punter.
Right.
And
yeah. So you saw the
his
puncher.
Dad goes, "Well, it's a good game to watch if you're the punter's family." Like, you nailed it, Mr. Marco. You absolutely nailed it.
That's pretty cool. So you got to see a CFL. I would go. I would go just to say I went.
Well, they're changing the rules. They're conforming to the NFL rules next season. So they're going to four downs. They're making the field the same size. No more 55-yard line. No more 20-yard end zones. The goalposts are on the front of the end zone. They're moving them to the back. So, I mean, I have no reason to ever go again. It's just going to be worse American football.
Well, now. And I think the reason they're doing that is because they want to be a feeder league for the NFL, or in their mind.
The quality of play was bad, and there were 30,000 people there, and it was filled. So I don't think people seem to mind the quality of play. But
no.
Talking to the Preds Canadian players about it before I went, they basically all said, don't go. It's not entertaining, which I found very funny.
So the Predators in action tonight as they will take on the Anaheim Ducks. I have to ask you about your favorite line. Now, I have bought into this, calling them the loud line. I am supporting you on this. But Eric Halla, his return, I mean, he has really made a difference in my mind. He's got 4 points in six games since coming back with the Predators. And I know Marchessault has been out, was out the last game. But I really like that group with him and Michael Bunting.
Yeah, I think through the first four games, Holla was the Preds' best forward.
Yeah.
He had a point in each of the first four games. Then in the Canadiens game on Thursday, we didn't really see as much of those guys. It was kind of their first no-show game, or I'd say their worst game so far this season. They had a little bit of an impact. And now with Marchessault out again tonight, Steven Stamkos is going to play in Marchessault's spot with Holla and Bunting and see if those guys can be the ones who drag Stamkos into the fight.
Is that essentially the second line?
Yes. Yeah. It's so, the only reason I ever would term them the third line at the beginning of the season is just because if Stamkos is on Svechkov's line, to me the line with Stamkos is the second line.
Yeah, right.
But the way they redistributed the last few games, yeah, I mean they're playing second line minutes, they're playing a ton. They're playing all situations, and the Preds would be much worse off without them so far this year. And that was a good coaching move to bring those guys together from the start of preseason.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Max Hurtis is with us for the final hour. If you got any Preds questions for Max or CFL, he'll be happy to answer those.
No CFL, please.
We'll also be giving away tickets to tonight's game coming up in just a little bit. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works today. Chase and Big Joe with Max on 102.5 The Game.
Matheson enters on the right for the Canadiens. Fast-moving third. Matheson in front. Pad save, Saros. Power move by Mike Matheson. Saros gets a save with the right pad. Perbix the other way. Hey, scores! Nick Perbix puts the Preds ahead with 8:39 left in the third.
Ah, the great Max Hurs on the call. And the great Max Hurs is here with us at Tennessee Brew Works. Welcome back in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game. We're going to have several pairs of tickets to give away.
For what?
For tonight's game.
Oh.
Yeah.
What
oh, yeah.
game?
We're against the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay.
The Predators.
I'm trying to be Big Joe right now.
You
is it
are.
Working?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. The Preds and Ducks coming up. You'll have pregame at 6 o'clock. Nick Perbix has been, I think, what everybody hoped he was going to be when they signed him. Yes, he scored a little bit, but he's been that defensive help that the Predators desperately needed.
I don't understand how he didn't have a larger contract offer. Becoming a free agent as a right-handed defenseman in a year when the cap went up, and he told us on Smashville Live a couple weeks ago, he had double-digit teams interested in him. Preds got him for 2 years, $2.25 million a year. That's a steal for a guy who's played shutdown minutes to start the year and also has scored twice. He's not here to score, but he scored twice.
Sure. Sure, he can add that. Do you look at him as – I mean, sure, they could extend him, you know, if they wanted to. But there's so many – there's some intriguing young defensemen in the pipeline. You know, Mullendijk, I think we're going to see sooner rather than later. But doing a contract like that, do you think that allows them to give those kids time to grow? But also – see if, hey, you know what, maybe we like him, he fits, he's going to fit with this new group that comes up.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably more competing with the right D prospects, which is Andrew Gibson, who I would not expect to play in the NHL this season. He has a shot, too.
Yeah.
But, no, I think Perbix at 2 years, at 27 years old, and at that salary, I don't think there is a more perfect contract for the Preds right now in free agency than that.
UC Saros, we have, I think for the most part, been glowing about him, you know, through the first handful of games. I know, he's going to have – nobody's going to be perfect. They're going to have those moments. But I have just seen a difference with him. I think the play in front of him has helped some of that. But I feel like he's seen the puck much like the UC Saros we saw a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple things in response to that. I think the two things you said are the same thing. I think he is seeing the puck because of the play in front of him.
Yeah.
They made changes to the defensive zone structure to clear shot lanes and to box out in front and sweep the porch was the way it was verbalized. And I love that. And it perfectly explains it. Like, you had too much crap going on in front of him last year. And when I asked Saros about it, he said the biggest thing is that what his guys are going to do in the D zone is significantly more predictable than it was last season. And that's why guys were popping wide open. And the thing that really created, that Saros pointed out, is a ton of seam passes right across the top of the crease, out of Saros' reach to knock the pass down, but they set up backdoor slam dunks. How many goals do you remember the Preds giving up like that last year? It felt like every game the last 2 months of the season. somebody was wide open down low. And that hasn't happened this year. And when it's happened, Saros has had the shot measured because it's within the coverage that that guy could be there in that moment, and the defenseman knows to leave him, and Hal has done a really good job on our air, as you've heard, Chase, of pointing those moments out, of saying, hey, this is why the defenseman left that guy there. This is why the defenseman didn't leave that guy there. This is why this guy has time in the corner. This is why this guy can park there and it's okay. It's all structure. And so much of that relates to goaltending. And I think that's why Saros, in my opinion, was not at fault for really any of last season's. But I think the biggest thing was by even the halfway point of last year, there was very little will left in the team. There was nothing to play for. So you wouldn't expect him to play well, and Onanen played a lot. Saros didn't have his usual rhythm. You know he wants to play every game. I think there's a chance he plays almost every game through Sweden, which is about a month away from right now. So, yeah, I think he's doing everything you could hope and more. And to be honest with you, I don't think he's given up a single bad goal.
Yeah, I'd agree. And it was Barry Trotz last week when he was on with DVD, I think he said Ken Dryden couldn't have even played goal for us last year. was his exact word. So
the late Ken Dryden, who just passed
about
a month ago.
Yeah, so he he brought that up. But I think there was, because you know how this works. You sign a guy to a long contract, everybody is going to put it under a microscope and, you know, just pick it to death. And I understood both sides of the argument when they were going through the process of, do you sign him to a long-term deal or do you trade him and go with the young kid? I think keeping Saros was the right move, and the way of doing business now is, yeah, you're going to sign a guy and probably the last couple of years of the contract aren't going to look great, but that's a part of it. And now I think you're seeing, as the contract is now kicked in, hey, this is the guy they need. Now they got to build around him. It's you know, finding the guys that can put the puck in the back of the net, whether the guys are here will continue to develop, or guys in your pipeline. It's still part of the process, and he's still young enough that he can see the fruits of those labors.
Yeah, and I think Saros can play into his late 30s just like Rene did.
Yeah.
There's no reason why he can't. So I don't think the length of the contract is too much of a concern. The cap then, assuming the NHL continues to succeed, will be quite high. And he's already barely even a top 10 salary goalie in the NHL.
Right.
Just a year after the contract got signed.
Yeah.
So,
and there's some guys that have signed extensions that you're going,
right,
what? They signed for that?
For more than him.
Right.
But like, if Saros wasn't signed to an extension, who's the Preds starting goalie for tonight's game? It's probably Yaroslav Askarov, right?
Right.
Time for that yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was like, he needs more time. And, you know, I trust Barry Trotz in knowing that Barry Trotz has a belief of sometimes you need to sit a guy and overcook a guy for a little bit. And if he was kind of having the mindset of like, yeah, you're not ready, and then you've seen what it's looked like, you know, in San Jose, I mean, I think he knew there.
Right. He's I mean, also, it's the same as what Saros dealt with last year. The Sharks are terrible.
Right.
I think even if the Sharks had a great veteran goalie, that they'd be struggling.
Yeah.
We've seen it with the goalies who have come through there. Georgiev is now in the KHL because he went to San Jose.
Yeah. Like,
that's how it happened. Blackwood was awful there, and he becomes a true number one with the Avs. So a lot of it is really about the team in front of you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we agree the team in front of the Predators in front of UC Saros is gotten better. Now, I think it needs to continue to grow and get better, but it's certainly through the first six games you've definitely seen some improvement. Speaking of the KHL, I laughed because our friend Mr. Scale sent me a clip last night of former Predator Alex Radulov sitting on the bench mentoring his son. Talking to his son on the bench, and I was like, I immediately felt very old, but that Rads at this point is still playing, and he's now
his
playing.
I think it is. Igor Surin.
I thought it was
prospect Igor Surin.
Oh, that's who it
his
was?
His hockey son, perhaps.
Oh, his hockey son. Okay.
What a turn this has taken.
Okay, I thought that was his son.
No, it's Igor Surin, Preds first-round pick. Yeah. It's so funny that the Preds, I mean, possibly highest-ceiling forward prospect.
Yeah.
Brady Martin probably is a, I don't know. I'm not a prospect guy.
Yeah.
But I think Surin has a really high ceiling.
Okay.
And he's a year older, or 2 years older than Martin. So
he's
further
20?
He's further along. and he'll be in Russia for at least two more years.
Okay.
But what a plot twist this
is.
Yeah,
that he's playing with
Radulov. He's playing with Alex Radulov. They won the Gagarin Cup last year, KHL title. And
how old is Radulov? Asked,
I think he's 38 or 39.
Wait, so we're the same age? 39. Okay, so he's almost a year exactly older than me.
So, I mean, what a plot twist this is, that really important Preds player and a guy who has the potential to maybe be one of the best centers in franchise history down the road, and Igor Surin, is getting mentored by Radulov, who tells him, Surin says in his somewhat imperfect English when he comes here once a year for prospect camp, he says Radulov tells him that Nashville is amazing, and Radulov is the guy who's teaching him how to be a pro, and they're absolutely pounding beers together when they won the Gagarin Cup this spring. It's like, what is happening here?
Oh, that's fantastic.
But yeah, Rads has become a good soldier for the Preds.
Well, I hope he doesn't teach him to leave in the middle of his prime. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But
We'll worry about that later. But yeah. My favorite Igor Surin quote is the moment he was drafted. He was asked, how do you describe your game? And he said, I have two more years left on my contract in Russia. He did not understand the question. His English is better now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a really important player. But he is not Alexander Radulov's biological son.
Okay. Please stop spreading
misinformation.
I'm sorry. I miss...
Joe's not here. There's no misinformation today.
I blame Mr. Scale for that.
But don't trust the scale.
I trust him, but... I messed that one up. We'll have more with Max Hurst coming. I just want to move on.
Anybody else related in the hockey world that we don't know about, Jake? Are you related to Jake McCabe from the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, we're cousins, apparently.
Yeah, he got all the athletic ability.
Yeah, he did. He did. I did not. We'll have your chance to win tickets to tonight's game coming up here in just a few minutes. Max is hanging out with us here on the program. Chasing Big Joe live today at Tennessee Brew Works, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. We're at Tennessee Brew Works. We're like... not far from the arena. I don't know how to describe this area, but we're downtown, and it's a great spot if you haven't been here before. They got a great spot outside. You can bring your dog, sit inside, sit in the actual brewery.
You got me excited that there's a dog here.
Is there a dog here?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't think
you
so.
You can bring a dog.
I am going to say this on the radio for everyone in the world to hear. The Nashville Predators yesterday took the pictures for the 2026 Predators Foundation calendar.
I saw that.
And in years past, it has been adoptable dogs. This year, it was both adoptable dogs from Wags and Walks, and also many of the players brought their own dogs.
Oh, cool. I think they've done that before.
Yeah. So it's very exciting. It will be for sale sometime around Thanksgiving for you to have for Christmas for 2026. Last year, it was zoo animals. So all September, I was staring at UC Soros petting a rhinoceros. And now Philip Forsberg was some sort of cheetah leopard type deal. But nice. Next year it will be Predators players, many of them with their own dogs. Lots of golden retrievers.
Okay.
And Fedor Svechkov has a dog that I think weighs half a pound.
They did that one year when Shea Weber was still here, and he had his big, I mean, two.
Of course he did.
I forgot what his dogs were, but they were huge.
They were beasts.
Yeah, and he's just sitting in the middle of them with that Shea Weber stare. It's like, yeah, of course you do. And then, of course, who can forget, and I don't think it was his dog, but Kevin Fiala holding the it was like a little tiny dog that you wouldn't expect, but it was just so, like, that's where the whole Fifi thing came from. Because he was holding that kind of dog.
Yeah, that makes sense. He shot that nickname down, though, didn't he?
He was not a fan of it. Yeah, I think it stuck.
It's not the most masculine nickname for a professional male athlete.
What was so funny about him, I had the funniest interaction with him one time, and it was when I realized that sometimes people just like the hat. He walks in for Gladiator Days, and we're doing, like, some interview stuff. He's wearing a Braves hat. I was like, oh, cool, the Braves. Are you a big fan? He just kind of looks at me. He's like, I have no idea what they are. I just like the hat. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
I mean, he is from the other side of the planet.
I know.
So.
I know. But Ryan Johansson heard that, and, of course, he was laughing and then gave him a hard time about it. So it was good. It was a fun time.
I'm very happy for you that happened.
Max Hurst is with us. All right, so we got several pairs of tickets to give away for tonight's game. How would you like the people to win these tickets? I'm going to put you in charge of this.
Okay. Here's how we're going to do it, people. Before I say anything, It is not about who is first to text. If you are driving, please do not text. We'll give it till the end of the show to pick winners. Please don't text and drive. You could text at 2:59 and still win them.
Yeah.
So please don't text and drive. Text to 615-737-1025. Only if you can attend tonight's game, please. The game is at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena, 501 Broadway, Smashville, Tennessee, which is actually the actual U.S. mail address is Smashville, Tennessee, by the way. So if you're having trouble finding the arena, talk to your
Kenny
postman.
The mailman can
Kenny
confirm.
The mailman can help you, yeah. But text to 615-737-1025. We have a set of four and a set of two available, lower-level tickets in the 1025 The Game Game Changer section for tonight. Text us who you'd bring, why you'd want to go, and why you deserve to go, and whether you want four tickets or two tickets to tonight's game, Preds versus Ducks. Text it to 615-737-1025 anytime between now and the top of the hour. And our fans here at Tennessee Brew Works are also eligible.
Okay.
If they would like to text.
They
might be first because they don't hear us on a delay like the rest of the world does.
They might.
But it's not about who's first. It's about who has the best story. And if you have, I don't know, you can send us a picture of your crew, too.
Yeah.
Why you deserve it.
Do that.
We can receive pictures, correct?
By the way, the food here at Tennessee Brew Works, we've been sampling the burger and the fries. Absolutely excellent. So
they should change their name to Tennessee Food Works.
But they could.
Because I can't have a beer right now because I have to go announce the game.
I know. And look, we all know that Hal Gill would love to come here to Tennessee Brew Works and have a pop or two.
He'd walk in and go, as if he's thinking about what he's going to order. Do you have a local IPA?
They do.
I'm sure they do. If they don't, I don't know what all these barrels in the back are filled with.
So several here at Tennessee Brew Works. 0264, or Jeff in 12 South, says, for Max, I totally agree with your comments about the D in front of Saros. I thought the predictability in front of him changed when Alex Carrier was traded. He provided predictability and team high blocks. Thoughts?
I think the way they've changed the system this year, it's been a team effort blocking the shots, which has been good. And I really think it's about who's in that position that's going to be blocking shots, you know? So I think Carrier was a great shot blocker. I think he's a great all-around defenseman. It was really great to see him last week. And all of a sudden, at 29 years old, Carrier is the veteran on a really young team in his hometown in Montreal. I think that's accurate, but I think everybody's blocking shots. So I think Carrier they miss, but I think Barron has closed the gap on that trade for sure. I think he's played better. I think he needs to be more physical, and that's been the rally cry for him since he got here. He's a big dude. Justin Barron is a big guy. He's 6'2". He has really long arms. I would love to know his wingspan. They don't really use that in hockey.
No.
At the draft, they probably measure your wingspan, but he has a really long reach. He has a good stick. He's played good defense this year, and they're going to give him a run on the second power play, and they're going to keep him there tonight. So, it was a trade for the future, and I think we're getting to the point where you can start saying that Barron is building towards something in the future, and he's going to get a good long look this year. So it's time for him to keep proving it.
Yeah, and look, I like him too. I liked Carrier, and that was I remember talking to Barry Trotz about, you know, the moves and stuff that were made last year, and he said that one was a tough one, but like you just said, he had to look down the road, and you know what was coming down the road, and so he wanted to do right by Carrier, and I think sending him home to Montreal was the perfect scenario for him.
Yeah, and it's not like Carrier is playing on the top pair there. He's
playing
on the third pair.
Right.
Behind some really good defensemen, Noah Dobson, Mike Matheson, Caden Gooley, and Lane Hudson, who defense is maybe not the way to describe him, but he won the Calder last year, and he's a great defenseman for a young guy. So, yeah, it's not like Carrier. I mean, Carrier and Barron are playing basically the same amount of minutes.
Right.
Just Carrier is on a better team.
Right.
So,
Max Herr is with us. So, as we said earlier, Jonathan Marchessault, he's lower bodies day to day, still not going to play tonight. Brady Martin will go back in, so we'll see that. What are you expecting from Anaheim? This is a team that
I have no idea.
I mean, we obviously know Joel Quenneville is now the head coach. He's made his return. I think this team clearly still needs a lot of work. They're young, I guess is the best way to put it, but they've been one of the worst teams in the league for a long time.
So they've played five games. They have led for 8.5 minutes of ice time in five games, but they're 2-2-1. So they have basically the same record as the Preds, the same points percentage. They've played one fewer game. But the big thing for the Ducks is their leading goal scorer, new to the Ducks this year, Chris Kreider of the Rangers, long time, who they traded for this summer, is not playing tonight.
Okay.
He was not at morning skate. We weren't provided with injury details. We'll probably get them closer to the game. But, yeah, Kreider is not playing tonight for the Ducks. He's scored four of their 14 goals through five games, and they're completely mixing up all of their lines in response to that. So I guess he got hurt in their last game, which was a 2-1 loss to the Blackhawks on Sunday in Chicago. I feel bad for Kreider because he's been reborn out there, and a lot of people question that move. I mean, they went old to pair up with some young guys, and their last couple first-round picks are here. Leo Carlson, who was selected second overall in the draft here two years ago, the surprise pick ahead of Adam Fantilli, who fell to three. And then last year, the Ducks made an even bigger surprise and took Beckett Seneca, who was supposed to go somewhere between like 8 and 10. They took him third. And hockey fans who watched the draft may remember or even saw on social media, he was the one who they drafted him and they cut him in the crowd and he had like the most shocked face of all time that he went as early as he did. He's playing. He made his NHL debut on opening night and he has 4 points in five games. So he's going to play tonight. Carlson, I think, is progressing really well. This is his third season. So those are the big young names at forward. They have Jackson Lacombe on the back end, who they just gave a big deal to. They have Pavel Minchikov, Russian defenseman, who I like. No more John Gibson. Lukasz Dostal is their guy. He's starting tonight, and he has not been too good this season. So this is a game the Preds really need to win. They lost three in a row to end the road trip. This is the lowest standing opponent of the homestand based on last year's standings. Then you got the Canucks on Thursday, who we know from the playoffs what their potential is like. They missed the playoffs last year, but they're a good team. Saturday night, the Kings, who I think could be really good, especially knowing it's Anze Kopitar's last season.
Yeah.
They want to win it for him. Sunday night, the Stars. Mikko Rantanen is still on the Stars. They're going to be good for a long time on the back end of a back-to-back. And then a week from tonight, the Lightning. This is a tough homestand.
Yeah.
So you need a good showing tonight against the Ducks. And first game back from a long road trip is always hard. Ducks have been rolling on the road. They've been on the road. So they have the legs advantage, you would think, at least to start the game. So a win tonight would be huge.
Yeah, but I do like how the schedule has laid out for the Predators to start. Of you have a couple games at home, then you go on the road for four, then you're back for five. I feel like that's much more favorable than what it was last year.
Yeah, well,
because starting at home as much as they did, I mean, I know.
Oh yeah, it was part of what doomed the season.
Yeah,
they were just stuck in a rut here and they couldn't get out of it. And the Maple Leafs have a similar thing on their schedule. And we're talking to their announcers, and they're just like, We know you guys slogged through this last year, and we're just here, and the boys want to get on the road. And I think the Preds' schedule was good. They don't play on the road very much until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So a lot of home games over the next 5 weeks, and almost every Saturday is a Saturday in Smashville. So those need to be full crowds, which they will be, and those need to be good results for the Preds against some good teams.
We have a lot of texts that have come in. Again, we will select these after the show and contact you if you are a winner for tickets for tonight's game. He's Max Herz. He's hanging out with – his name is Max Herz. As you like to say, my name is Max Herz. So there you go. That's how we'll properly do that.
I like to say that my name is my name, yes.
Yeah. I just – you have like a way that you do it that I think is like your signature.
Well, you said this to me. I think it's a very nice compliment. And the only reason I say it like that is because if I say – If I say it almost any other way because of the letters my name starts with, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
If I say I'm Max Herz, it sounds like I'm Max.
Oh,
Herz.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
This is the radio, not an I'm
My name is Max Herz. Like, that's going to be the name of your book one day.
I'm not writing a book.
I think you.
I can auction off my
Hal Gill can
ghostwrite.
He'll ghostwrite it for you.
Jeez, you're going even less likely. We've been ragging on Hal this segment. When you hear the segment I recorded with him this morning at 6:15 tonight, where he says that I've been tolerable this year,
yeah,
just know he's joking.
That okay, we'll
see. Hey Siri, what does laborious mean?
Hal,
that was good. Well done, Dr. Curry. We will, but again, we'll continue to take your entries till the end of the show, giving away several tickets for tonight's game. But you get to participate coming up next in everybody's favorite segment. What day is it?
Oh, yes.
And celebrity birthdays. We're going to do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Thank you, Max. Max Herz hanging out with me as Big Joe is on a jet plane heading to Delaware. The Blue Hens and the Blue Raiders tomorrow night should be fun. Quickly, tell people again how they can win tickets to tonight's game.
Do we not have enough entries?
We have several, but they're, you know, we want to make sure we're fairly giving people
text
enough.
Don't text and drive is the first way to win. 615-737-1025. Text us. We have a set of four and a set of two for the Preds game tonight at 7. If you can go to the game, which begins in 4 hours, please text us if you would like the set of two or the set of four and who you would bring and why you deserve it.
It is that simple. And we're a giving station. That is what we're here for.
Are people saying we're not a giving station?
No.
Okay. But, sometimes you just throw shade with stuff like that, and I thought I might have missed something.
Yeah. I do throw shade sometimes.
Only sometimes?
It's usually directed.
Am I ruining the show?
No, not at all.
I'm having fun.
A friend of mine said it's an inside joke that everybody's invited in. That's our show.
That's what I said.
You said you were the one that said that.
I knew. Friend.
A friend.
I guess we are friends.
You are a friend.
You're my boss.
Yeah. You know. We're still friends. Okay. That's how it works. With that, let's get to what day is it in celebrity birthdays.
All right. First on the list is Back to the Future Day today. So
I love that movie.
There you go. Apple Day is today. One apple a day keeps the doctors away. I guess that's how it goes.
Dr. Crane.
Hey, there you go.
I don't want you to stay away. I want to hang out with you.
Exactly. I'll be around. Don't you worry. Babbling Day is today. That's typically radio from time to time.
Chase has been celebrating.
That's we do that. Ooh, we did Jerry's.
Celebration of the Mind Day is today. Check Your Meds Day is today, so that goes with the brain, I guess. Count Your Buttons Day, Garbanzo Bean Day, Global Iodine Deficiency Disorders Prevention Day is today.
So, it's a long one. Pause.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Not international. Information Overload Awareness Day. That's typically every
day.
That's
what Chase also deals with.
Uh-huh. Yes.
International Day of Nachos. So, there you go. National Mezcal Day. You can pair that with the nachos. National Pets for Veterans Day. Shout out to the vets.
Nice.
National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. Delicious. And then to wrap it up, we have Reptile Awareness Day, Pro-Life Day of Silence Solidarity, National Witch Hazel Day. It looks like a flower. And to wrap it up, World Bolognese Day.
I love you, Dr. Crane. All right, quickly, let's get to celebrity birthdays. Dr. Crane narrating today.
Yes, indeed. First on the list, we have model and reality star Kim Kardashian. How old is Kim Kardashian today?
How is JoJo not on the show today? That's his, you know.
Yeah, did she ever reply to any of his tweets?
No, not one of them. Max can go first.
43.
45. Max is on the board. Oh, 1-0.
Nice.
All right, okay. Going to Chase here. Rapper and pop artist Doja Cat. How old is Doja Cat?
26.
29.
30. Max is up 2-0 already.
Yes.
All right.
All right, going to Chase here. This guy's name is Silky. He is a rapper. So how old is Silky, Chase?
Is he a Brazilian soccer player?
28.
He's a rapper.
I think Silky's old. I think like 53.
He's 28 on the nose.
Oh,
how about that? Tied it to TV actor Glenn Powell. How old is Glenn Powell, Max?
65.
Glenn Powell?
I don't know any of the mainstream.
He's the guy in the new Twisters and that new football.
I don't know what that is.
Thing.
I know the sports people, and I know Doja Cat and Kim Kardashian.
42.
37. So neither of you guys got that one. Next on this, country singer Kane Brown. How old is Kane Brown, Chase?
34.
No, he's younger than that. He's 27.
32. Chase is up 3-2.
Well, I was still right. He is younger than 30.
That is true.
Yeah, but I still got it.
Next on the list, we have model Amber Rose. How old is model Amber Rose, Max?
Is that Wiz Khalifa's wife?
I'd assume so.
I think it might be. I'm just going to guess how old I think Wiz Khalifa is, which is 37.
34.
42.
Okay.
And last on the list we hear is Judge Judy. How old is Judge
Judy?
Oh,
Chris Sanders, call in and tell us.
Am I up?
Yes.
Judge Judy, 78.
She doesn't look it, but she's 74.
83.
Oh! Wow.
Over to sports birthdays, we have former NFL linebacker Mo Lewis. How old is Mo Lewis?
Max goes first.
Yes.
Can I get a team?
New York
Do
Jets.
You know who Mo Lewis is?
The Jets.
Oh, I still don't know who that is. 50.
61.
He is 56.
Oh.
Next on the list in this, I'll wrap up here. Damian Martin, former Australian cricket batsman.
Are there any athletes I've heard of?
Well, trust me, I'm trying to look up some American athletes. None are popping up. But this
Does
is
he
a,
play for the Brisbane Ballyhoos, Dr.
No,
Payne,
but they won
team?
The NRL, Max, so do not give me grief for that. Damian Martin.
What are we doing?
How old is Damian Martin, cricket player?
Is he a current cricketer?
No, he is a retired cricketer.
56.
94. I think he's a legend.
54. Chase. Oh, my goodness. And to wrap it up, I don't know how to pronounce this, but I'll try. Former Serbian soccer player Nemanja. Oh, this is Nemanja Matic. Oh, sorry. Vidic. Yeah, played for Manchester United way back in the day. How old is Nemanja Vidic?
I have to go first every time?
No, Chase went
43.
Last time.
43.
Okay.
53.
44.
Let's go. Nice.
Chase ends with a 4-3 victory.
Oh, I lost?
Yeah, he was
That
up.
Was good.
Happy birthday to Mrs. Predzikin, Rebecca Santamaria, also.
Oh, happy birthday. That's
and happy
a good one.
Anniversary to Pete and Claudia Weber.
Oh, well, that's a good one, for sure.
Their marriage turns 36 today, though it is not a celebrity.
Very nice. That is going to do it for us today. I appreciate Tennessee Brew Works for having us. And remember, guys, girls, we want you here. We want you to be here. If you need to talk to somebody, reach out. You can go to thegamenashville.com, the Chase and Big Joe page. We'll take you there or call 988 on your cell phone. We love you, and more importantly, as Joe always says, God loves you.